and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580. It's 8 after the hour, live here on a Thursday morning, the 9th of July. But if you're listening Saturday, this would be recorded. Joining us today from Prout Financial Design, we have Shay Pataja. Shay
Hello.
Is the CXO, the Corporate Experience Officer.
Chief Experience Officer.
Well, I better get the name right over here now. Holly Johnson? No. Heidi Thompson is in. Heidi is the, what's your title there, Heidi?
I am a financial advisor as well as the managing director of the firm.
Financial advisor.
That is correct.
And then Dennis is not with us today. Dennis is the certified financial planner, CFP.
Correct.
So are you going to be a CFP someday?
Well, right now, actually, I'm studying for my RICP, which is Retirement Income Certified Professional.
Ooh, okay.
So it's a series of three tests, and I'm in the middle of the second one. And you know that testing window got extended by six months because the testing centers are closed. So I'm just sort of treading water, hoping I won't forget what I learned before my next
extra time to study, though.
That's true.
Certified through state or is that through a professional organization?
It's a professional organization, and then you have to maintain that designation by continuing education and making sure that you're up to date on all the new changes and new laws.
Heidi was the valedictorian of her school, and I was the homecoming queen. So that should tell you a few things.
All right. Yeah.
She's
school.
Way smarter.
Yeah. So today, without Dennis, we're still going to talk about your retirement-related issues. What are you talking about today, Shay?
Well, so this is an off-the-wall topic because I heard a really fantastic story from my neighbor, Joyce.
Yeah.
She went to a wedding a couple weeks ago. I said, a wedding? I thought all weddings were canceled. She said, no, my friends who knew each other in high school, they were both married, both of their spouses passed away, and then during the quarantine, they fell in love and decided to get married. So it's a later in life marriage, and it got me thinking, well, one, there's hope for me. So, I mean, over 70, I might have a chance. But also, it just got me thinking about all the things that make it more complicated. So when you're I'm at this age now where my friends are celebrating like 20-year anniversaries and their kids are getting married. And I'm like, it's not possible. I have not aged at all. This is not possible.
Right.
And I was in like seven weddings in my 20s because that's what you did. And I mean, it was so simple then. You got married. You had a honeymoon. You felt, you know, all the things seem so simple. Now I'm older. I meet people and I say, how many retirement accounts do you have? How many beneficiaries do I have to share with? There's just a lot more questions.
Yes.
So we wanted to take the show in that direction, and it brought me back to a memory with my grandfather. So he was a great man. I've talked about him on the radio before, mayor of Cadillac for a while,
really?
Bob Pranger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he set up hospitals, doctors, businesses. So he was a business planner for doctors, and he did this in Cadillac and Petoskey. And anyway, so very professional man, involved in every group you can imagine. And he served in the Korean War, and he met my grandmother. This is such a great story. She had decided she was never going to get married. She was a very independent Irish Catholic woman, and then she met my grandfather. They get married. Then he gets a telegram from his fiance. I'm coming to visit you.
Oops.
Oops. He had fallen so in love with my grandmother, it had kind of...
like a Jack Lemmon movie.
It was like a movie, and they sent a telegram back saying, thanks, but no thanks. Bob has gotten married. I'm Rosemary. And they were married until he obviously passed away a few years ago, had 5 children. And so I would come home from college. You know that first year of college, or you're out on your own for the first time, and you start to realize, maybe my parents and grandparents know a thing or two. Like, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. So I had decided I was going to marry this guy. And I said to my grandfather, oh, yes, I'm in love. We're going to get married. I'll get 2 years of school done, and then we're going to get married. And he looked at me, and he just said, Shay, it's not when you get married. It's who you marry. And I thought, ding, 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 ding. Like, I had been wanting to get married based on a timeline.
A checklist
and this idea of a big, beautiful wedding. And it's kind of like, yeah, but who are you deciding to marry? And they had such a great marriage. It was a good example for me to see them love each other and take care of each other. And we just want to talk about that. And I was thinking, what would he say now to me? He would say the exact same thing. It's who you marry. Mm-hmm. And but things get a bit more complicated. So that's the show today, and we're going to get into that. I want to start with thanking everybody who listened last week. I've got a text message, Facebook messages. I was in a parking lot, and someone said, thanks for the show today, our 4th of July show. And Heidi? Yeah.
Yes, I got a couple people responding to me, and actually people calling me to say, when was that rebroadcast? Because I want to hear that again. So that was very heartening to hear such a good response to last week's show.
That was among the differences in last week's show was Dennis played, we played a the story of the
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. Yeah.
And all your shows are available where?
They're all on iTunes. So okay. once we have a show, there's a little bit of a lag because it has to go to compliance. They listen to it, they critique it, we edit it, and we put it onto both our website and iTunes.
You take out all the commercials and all my comments.
Right.
Okay.
We do have a bunch of blurbs of you getting Heidi's name wrong. And that's...
Wait, who's Heidi?
A blooper reel?
A blooper reel of you getting that wrong. But I wanted to, and Dennis said that every week, we just kind of want to keep reminding people of... perspective with everything going on in the economy and our world today. And I saw this really great Facebook post, and I wanted to read that today as a follow-up to last week. So imagine you were born in 1900. When you're 14, World War I begins and ends when you're 18 with 22 million dead. Soon after a global pandemic, the Spanish flu appears, killing 50 million people, and you're alive and 20 years old. When you're 29, you survive the global economic crisis that started with the collapse of the New York Stock Exchange, causing inflation, unemployment, and famine. When you're 33 years old, the Nazis come to power. When you're 39, World War II begins and ends when you're 45 years old, with 60 million dead. In the Holocaust, 6 million Jews die. When you're 52, the Korean War begins. When you're 64, the Vietnam War begins and ends when you're 75. A child born in 1985 thinks his grandparents have no idea how difficult life is. So just thinking about that, and I've run into so many older folks and asked them their perspective on what's happening, and they said, oh, this is nothing. when I read this post, it made more sense to put that into perspective.
Yeah, I just think that depression was a serious business. The Great Depression.
Serious.
Yep.
And then, but I think the kids born in 2000 or people born in 2000, they had September 11th
they
right
had
away.
September 11th. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were too little for that, but mm-hmm. they had the after effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the Iraq War, right. Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had...
2008,
the Great Recession, as some people... I'm not mm-hmm. fond of that term, but there was a little economic collapse there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic... And now we have, of course, who knows what's happening out in the streets now.
We don't. It could all change by the time the show is over. Okay. So
that's right.
Anyway, I just wanted to read that and share
perspective.
Some perspective for everybody. So All right. So according to the Pew Research Center, the number of cohabitating adults age 50 and older rose 75% since 2007. That's faster than any other age group.
50 plus cohabitating.
Rose 75% since 2007. There's a couple factors there. We have, I can dig into this stat. I have more here. One second. Most cohabitors ages 50 and older have previously been married, including a majority who are divorced, 55%. Just over a tenth of cohabitators ages 50 and older, 13%, are widowed. A share that rises to 27% among cohabitators 65 and older. Still, about one-fourth of cohabitators, 27% ages 50 and older, have never been married.
What percent there?
27%.
Okay.
So,
It sounds like a lot of them either divorced or are widowed and, find somebody. They're probably used to having company.
Yes.
And somebody to eat with and watch Jeopardy with or whatever, and they just don't get married.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. Like, where's your conviction lie?
And I don't know if there are any reasons when you look at two people like that have retirement accounts probably, and what different financial situations they have, if there are tax reasons, I don't know, but maybe you guys know.
We led you right into
good lead in there.
There's a good lead in. So, all right, this is a little story from Next Avenue, which I really love their stuff. If you're not following Next Avenue on Facebook or wherever you follow things, they've got great articles. This is a story about Dan and Linda, and Dan wrote this, and he's got some perspective. So, I swore I would never remarry after my wife died from complications related to dementia and Lou Gehrig's disease at 53. The personality altering disease took a toll on me as well, but that was 2014, and this is now. He wrote this in 2018. Like many caregivers, I met a wonderful partner in my dementia support group. Linda's father has late stage Alzheimer's disease. She invited me to coffee after Liz passed, and our conversations flourished into a love affair that continues to deepen. I made it clear at the onset that I had no desire to remarry. I told Linda that I never wanted to face caregiving again, that I didn't want to take a loved one for granted again, and that I needed to preserve as much of my estate as possible for my two children, one of whom has autism. She didn't object. Yet thoughts of marriage continue to tug at me. I'm 62, Linda's 56, we love one another. But it's the practical questions about getting married late in life that prompted me to bring up the subject with my financial advisor. His advisor and tax accountant, Scott, congratulated him on finding a love partner. But he surprised me when he said that it might be a bad idea, fiscally speaking, for Linda. It would throw her into a higher tax bracket. Also, after I retire, give up my employer-sponsored health insurance, and go on Medicare at 65, Linda might find that as a couple, we made too much money for her to qualify for a subsidized health care plan. Scott offered to run the numbers if we ever seriously considered the idea of marriage.
How romantic.
So, I know. I hate to be a buzzkill here, but...
But you look at people will look at marriage different through different prisms, whether they're 20 or 60,
right.
25 or 65. Yeah,
exactly. Because one of the facts is that since you're older, you've acquired more assets. Your financial situation is probably a lot more complicated. And you may have children, like the man in the story. He had two grown children, one with special needs. So that adds another complication into the mix. You're not just joining two individuals. You've got pre-established families, maybe, and different assets. And so it just adds to the complexities of the situation.
We're not trying to be negative here today. We're trying to just state the facts that people talk about when they come to our office. These are the things they want to bring up and discuss. So the real conversations that the advisors have apply to a lot of people who may not talk about this with their friends. So anyways, you get to eavesdrop today and then weigh the pluses and minuses, so to speak.
So I would just expand on that a little bit, Shay, and just keep in mind, like, we're going to talk about some of the financial considerations and some things you should check and some strategies. But just because you look at the facts and the strategies, which I will say that I enjoy that portion, that can, there's also your personal side, your heart, your happiness, your quality of life, and you should never discount how valuable that is as well. So there is not one answer that every situation that you can just a rule of thumb that you could follow for every situation. You've got to look at the whole picture, and you got to look at not just the factual statistics, but also your quality of life and if you're
your
in love
and
happiness and all those intangibles that are hard to value but are definitely important and shouldn't be overlooked.
When you are responsible for your own retirement planning and you work hard, you raise a family, and you're of that age where you're now single for whatever reason, they've made it so complicated. We need professionals. So you need to do, I would think, do your work. And it's not any less romantic to decide not to get married. It's why injure yourself by getting married if it's going to hurt your financial picture that you've worked so hard for? So it's just different times of life, I would think, the decision that goes into it.
So many factors.
If you were 20, if you're saying, well, you shouldn't get married to that person because it might hurt your income, that's a little, I think that's a little more bothersome, you know. But if you're 60, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so there's a lot of things that should be considered, things that you might want to talk about. So one is combining finances. If you're going to combine finances after marriage, because you've had more time to accumulate significant assets, it's maybe a little bit more complicated than it would have been when you were in your 20s. There's also could be adult children and issues of inheritance. So you want to talk about joint accounts. Are you going to have joint checking? Maybe you have a joint checking, but you still retain a separate checking to take care of maybe if you have a family cottage on one side, maybe you have a certain account that would be dedicated to maintaining that, that maybe the other spouse wouldn't be contributing to. You want to look at savings. How do you guys like to save? What are your values that way? And be able to talk about these things beforehand so that you've had separate households before, separate ways of doing things. And you need to look at these basic things on your financial side. Because the more that you discuss and have an open and honest discussion about all these, the less problems will come later. You know, surprises in the financial world aren't always good. So, right. Yeah. So another thing that will be affected is your tax filing. Currently, if they're filing as single, if they do marry, there's two different categories there. There's married filing jointly or married filing separately. And all those have different levels of tax brackets for different income levels. So those things should be looked at in which one is going to benefit the couple after the marriage the best, which way. So that would be a discussion with your accountant and so that you have a good idea of where you're going to end up. Another thing you want to think about is your estate planning, and that's where those your children or grandchildren come into effect. You may want to look at powers of attorney, your will, life insurance policies. Who's going to be the beneficiary of the life insurance policies? If you have more than one, maybe you split it up. One goes to the kids, one goes to the spouse. You want to look at your retirement accounts, your investment funds. Any kind of financial account that you have, you want to have a plan for that and how it's going to be handled. This, if everyone knows this, and they talk about in this article, which I thought was a great idea, is that you include some of the adult children in the conversations so there's no shock after if one spouse passes away or there's no bitterness, or there's that underlying anxiety because they don't know, are we going to be able to keep the cottage, things like that. So that would be something that could be effective to smoothing the future path. And they talk about a prenup. Now, when I was talking to Shay about before the show, I'm like, when I hear the word prenup, I always go to TV shows and movies, and it's always like the 80-year-old marrying the 20-year-old, and do they have a prenup? But really, you don't. It doesn't have to be that situation. You can have a prenup for any age. I mean, you can be the same age. A prenup is really a financial tool that can, and it can't be used for non-financial matters. It is designed about your finances and how they will be treated if you stay together, if someone passes away, if the marriage lasts 5 years, if it lasts 25 years. So this can be like a roadmap as to where it's going to go, and then hopefully disperse with some of that anxiety or some of future arguments or discussions, just laying it all out in the open like that.
So by avoiding marriage, which Shay said earlier, that cohabitating among the 50-plus crowd has gone up 75% mm-hmm. in the last 10 years or so, you avoid all this. You just keep things the way they are. You have your finances, I have my finances. Mm-hmm. We'll just live together. But if you do want to get married, then you, mm-hmm. you have a lot to consider.
Well,
there
yeah.
could be financial advantages to getting married, I would guess, maybe.
Well, there are, and there's certain rights you have in marriage that you don't have if, you're cohabitating. Mm-hmm. So, and the religious conviction, people feel that it's the right thing to do no matter what. So you've got to decide for you what works, but taking all this into account is important, especially with blended families.
Right.
Because you see situations, and we've read them on the radio, where she's the beneficiary on his 401k. She lives much longer. When she passes, she leaves it to her kids, and none of it goes to his kids. Yeah. You know, things like that where you go, oh, that probably should have been talked about at some point, or maybe it was and it was forgotten, but you're trying to preserve the family relationships after you're gone as well.
That's true. And I think something like planning can really help with that. So another thing that's affected would be Social Security. If you're receiving your benefit based on a former spouse or a deceased spouse work record, then if you remarry, that could affect the amount of that benefit that you're receiving. So you want to find out, what will my new benefit be? And what was my old benefit? These mm-hmm. things could have a very important impact on the quality of life. Just because you receive a certain benefit now under certain conditions, if you marry, it changes the conditions. So therefore, it can change that benefit. So that would be another discussion with a financial advisor or your accountant to mm-hmm. find those things out.
And not that unusual.
Not that, I
for
hear.
For people 50 plus to be in that position, either divorced or widowed.
Especially those that have retired and they're already taking Social Security. So, and they're taking it off their ex-husbands or whatever. It doesn't make, they've said to me, it doesn't make sense for me to get married at this point financially. When you're younger, you're a little more motivated for that reason.
All right. Okay. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Okay.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, Heidi is going to start thinking through the plus and minuses of marriage with the top five financial things, or did we just do that?
Well, we've gotten through
four, yeah.
So we still have one more to go. Oh,
there's the cliffhanger, which is healthcare.
All right, let's do the healthcare now then.
I'm sorry.
Our director's off today, so we'll just...
Well, the fifth one is reviewing Medicaid. If you are on Medicaid, sort of the situation in the story that Shay read, Linda, I believe her name was, by getting married, it could impact her negatively because she would no longer qualify for the health program that she was currently enrolled in. People want to look at this. If people have pensions and they receive health care as part of that pension package, how does it treat new spouses? Does it include spouses, things of that nature, you want to check out because that's a major expense in retirement, is that health care bill and health insurance. And then one final point I would just bring up is that, so say you're like listening to us and you're like, wow, we should have done this. We should have had the agreement made. Oh, no. There is something called a postnuptial agreement, which I had not heard of before researching this topic. It says that it's not treated and it may not be as good of legal documentation, but they said this kind of documentation is better than not having anything. So even putting a plan in place after you've remarried or you've married later in life, it gives people a roadmap as to what you want or what you intend instead of leaving it up to the various parties to figure it out afterwards. So that's another consideration for people. If they didn't do the prenup, they can still have a financial agreement or plan afterwards, just so it's clear and everybody understands where they are.
All right. Check with your financial advisors, your spiritual advisors, your lawyers before you make that step.
Yeah.
Or just don't take the step. Just live together.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we have another update, and we did mention this a couple of times on the show, but it is an important change, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to hear this. The IRS issued a new notice on June 23rd. It's notice 2020-51, and it has to deal with RMDs, or required minimum distributions, and the ability to roll those back into the IRA because RMDs are not required this year. So the reason that's why it's so important to us is because usually you can't do this. So this is an opportunity that is not available at most times. This is an unusual ruling. So the CARES Act waived the 2020 RMDs and any first-time 2019 RMDs that were delayed and not taken in 2019. So they do not have to take those RMDs anymore. So for this reason, amounts received in 2020 that would have been RMDs are now eligible for rollover since they are technically not RMDs anymore. Mm. Many individuals had already received RMDs before the CARES Act was signed into law and wanted to put those monies back into the IRA to avoid paying income tax and recognizing those distributions as income. So earlier this year, the IRS extended the 60-day rollover deadline until July 15th, the same as tax day, for distributions made after January 31st, 2020. So individuals that received RMDs in January 2020 were out of luck. So in that first ruling, if you took yours the first part of the year, you were out of luck and able to roll that back over. So this is where the change comes into. The 2020-51 ruling extends the rollover deadline to August 31st, 2020. The extended deadline covers RMDs taken any time in 2020, including in January 2020. The IRS says that the RMD repayments will not count against the once per year rollover rule. Sorry about that, but
rollover rule. Round and round the rugged rock ran the ragged rascal.
So what they're talking about there is there is a rule when you do normally do a rollover, and that a 60-day rollover. That's where you have money in your IRA and you take it out and you put it back in within 60 days, then it will be like you never took it out. Yeah. You don't have to claim that on your taxes. It won't have any effect on your taxes. But that 60-day rule is a hard and fast rule. So this is unusual that they are extending the period of time and that they won't consider those normal rules this year. So people who want to try to lower their income tax and took that RMD in January, This is an opportunity for them to put that money back in and avoid that situation.
All right. That's a brand, well, a couple weeks old rule there.
A couple weeks old, and it is an opportunity for some people to make a difference this year in their taxable income and maybe lower it a little bit. So
there you go.
Talk to your financial advisor if you take RMDs. Those would be for people who turned 70 and a half before the end of 2019. Those people are the ones that have to take RMDs. It also, this new ruling also affects people that are beneficiary IRA holders and the RMDs that are required from those IRAs. This can also affect their ability to roll those back over. So if you're in that situation and you have a question about it, you can give our office a call, or you could talk to your own financial advisor and find out if this is an opportunity that you should or want to take advantage of.
There you go. All right. The article that we went through earlier, the five financial things to consider before later in life marriage, was from Smart Asset, and it was written by Bridget Yule. So look that up, and I'll post it to our Facebook as well. And the stats that I read are from the Pew Research Center. And then again, Next Avenue is the article about Dan and Linda. And I think I'm going to email Dan. I want to know what happened. It's been 2 years. I want to know what they decided.
What did he decide?
So I wanted to leave us on a high note, a positive note, so to speak. So I found a great article about the research of does marriage really make you happy? You know, we don't know. Yes, some. That's for some. And they've done research about this, and they've collected data over the years. And so it says here in this article that was written by, it's Berkeley Education, so the greater good, and the gal's name is Emiliana Simon Thompson. That's a pretty name. So historically, large studies show that on average, married people report greater happiness later in life than unmarried people. Separated and divorced people tend to fall into the less happy bucket, while the never married and widowed fall somewhere in between. The relationship between marriage and happiness is like most things in psychological science. It's bidirectional. In other words, it's what you do to foster happiness as an individual and as a spouse that makes a difference, not marriage itself. Marriage doesn't make you happy, says Harvard psychology professor and happiness expert Daniel Gilbert. Happy marriages make you happy. Single people who elect to never marry but have a strong social support system are certainly happy, and happiness increases when low-quality marriages dissolve. Again, this is all true for both men and women, so it goes across the board. Altogether, decades of research from human development, psychology, neuroscience, and medicine irrefutably converge on this conclusion. Being in a long-term, committed relationship that offers reliable support, opportunities to be supportive, and a social context for meaningful shared experiences over time is definitely good for your well-being. And I would concur with that. As a single person, I have a strong social network, and I'm surrounded by happily married people who include me, and I'm very thankful for that. Because I know some couples aren't comfortable with that, but I always get invited to things and included, and I think that's just really important when you have a strong social network. There's also a great podcast if you want to listen to Brené Brown. She's released a podcast, and over quarantine, she did one about loneliness and the science behind what makes people lonely, and it's not living alone. There's three types of loneliness where it comes from. That includes not having a connection or purpose in your community. That's the source of loneliness. Not having an intimate partnership. That's a source of loneliness. And not having a connection with yourself and your personal purpose is also a source of loneliness. So I think we tend to generalize and say, oh, that's just because people are married or not married or dating or not dating. And that's just not the truth. It's multiple things, and you're responsible as an individual to go out and, you know, be happy, as they were saying. If you're happy now, you'll be happy married, probably. So, probably, again. Heidi, what are your thoughts?
Well, my situation's a little different. I mean, I'm a single woman, as Shay is, but I am divorced, and I have three children. So my children fill up a lot of my time and a lot of my energies, even today, even as they're growing into young women. And it's nice to know that sometimes they still like to talk to their mom. But I would agree with you. It's the quality of the relationships that enhances life. And having a purpose and having found something that you love to do, that you can spend your time doing, all these little pieces add up to happiness. And I don't think just by doing one thing like getting married or being single is going to be happiness. It's so much deeper, and you can add to your own happiness by pursuing some of these things and finding more about yourself as you go forward.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just read an article that said men who get married tend to live longer than men who are not married.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So maybe that guy in your example, what was his name in that story?
Dan.
Maybe Dan has some kind of primitive thing pulling him toward marriage because he thinks it'll make him last longer.
Maybe.
Live longer.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of interesting too, because when women become widows, they tend to network with each other very quickly and get connected quickly. And I think that's more of a struggle I've seen for men to develop those groups. Even when my grandfather retired, it was like harder for him to get together with the guys if it wasn't in the context of work or church, you know. But women feel more comfortable just calling each other up and saying, "We're all going to Mackinac Island this weekend. You want to come?"
You rarely will hear guys because, "Hey, you want to get together and talk?"
Exactly.
And I hear my wife say that with her friends. "You want to get together and talk?"
And you're like, "What did they talk about?" Meanwhile, guys are like, "Hey, I spent $2,000 on fireworks this weekend. Want to go blow them up?"
There used to be a beer commercial, I think it was, probably, and they showed like all these women, like six or seven women, are all talking at the same time and having a great time together. And then they flash to two guys sitting on a couch watching a game. One goes, "Huh?" And the other one says, "Huh?"
You hate to be stereotypical, but I mean, some things are just sometimes true.
It happens that way.
Oh, man. All right, well, want to wrap this up for us, Heidi?
And a growing number of couples age 50 and older are simply living together without the benefit of marriage and keep their financial lives separate. However, still putting a ring on it remains the popular choice. More than half of previously married older Americans have remarried in 2013, according to the Pew Research Center, compared to 42% in 1960.
Well,
so that's from Merrill Lynch.
We did have a text from a gentleman who's listening today, and it says, "Married men don't live longer. It just seems that way."
Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. I want to remind you, go to proutfinancialdesign.com. That's where we put all of these radio shows. So go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast. That way, when a new one is loaded up, it just shows up on your phone. If you want to meet with us and have these types of conversations or listen to great tunes, thank you, Ron Jolly, call our office at 947-3992, and we are there.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.